Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. There is no debate that San Antonio's east side doesn't have access to the medical services that it needs. The area should have at least a full-service hospital and a maternity services area. The residents pay taxes that support medical services on the other end of the city. So are they getting a raw deal? How should this be addressed, and how soon can we get a solution? This half hour, we're talking about an east side push for a hospital and a childbirth center, and we want to hear from the community. The number to call in is 614-8980. That's the phone number, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org, or go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And to tell us more about the situation, we're joined this half hour by Jackie Gorman. She's the executive director of San Antonio for Growth on the East Side. Also, Lou Miller. He's the chairman of the East Bear Health Task Force. And welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, Jackie, summarize the situation. What are the challenges for folks who live on the east side by not having a hospital in the area? What does that mean for them?
Okay, so let's kind of define what we're talking about.
Good.
The east side. So if we're talking about basically that area that starts east of Interstate 37 and continues east to the city limits and a little beyond past 410, you know, all the way out toward China Grove in that area. So that's the area that I'm talking about. It's a big area. Think of it this way. There's no urgent care center there. You know, and I live out there and I cut my finger and had to drive 20 minutes to get some stitches. There are very few private physicians in the area. There is no emergency room. There is no hospital. The response that we often get is that, well, you know, the Baptists moved their Southeast Baptist to Brooks City Base, and so, you know, there's a hospital. Well, that's when it was at Southeast Baptist, it was a long way. Now it's outside of the community. You know, you've crossed I-37 again, and once again, we've got this artificial barrier isolating the people on the east side. You know, that's a huge issue. Add to that, when we're talking about our near east side residents, you know, that is a community at risk all the time. And in this case, we're talking about that area has the highest teen pregnancy rate in Bexar County. We're talking about a high prevalence of diabetes and the associated diseases that go along with diabetes. A huge number of the children in SAISD have an unhealthy body weight, you know, and all of those things are contributed to by the fact that medical care is not readily accessible. That area has the highest percentage of low birth weight babies than any other area in the city, because it also has the highest percentage of mothers who are not getting adequate prenatal care.
So, So that we had facilities there. We had the Baptist Health System. They had Southeast Baptist Hospital that closed in 2011 after 40 years of service. And then there was also a Mission Trail Baptist Hospital. And what happened with that?
Well, Mission Trails is the one that's there now, but it is at Brooks City Base. And so that is outside of the community. You know, it is more south side than it is east side.
And now that they've been out there a couple of years, they decided to no longer have a birthing center. So now we can no longer have babies delivered anywhere in the southeast.
So your residents, you're paying your taxes, county taxes that are going towards the county hospital system, but we have no resource there on that part of town for that, right?
That's pretty much it. And it's not only the county hospital system either, because, you know, there are for-profit medical providers. I had a conversation with one a couple of weeks ago, and he says to me, well, you know, we generally don't serve the uninsured. And I said, well, why do you think that everyone on the east side is uninsured? There are plenty of people on the east side who go to work every day, who have very nice health care coverage, and, like me, have to drive across town to see their family physician.
But we have this thing called the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
And so we're going to have a lot more people with insurance. We didn't expand Medicaid in Texas. That may be remedied sometime in the future. But as more people have insurance, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have access to health care if you don't have a health care facility in your region.
You know, that's exactly right. I think that by adding to the number of insured, it's just going to make the situation that much more drastic. You know, just like I live there, I have insurance. You know, I drive all the way to Stone Oak to see my doctor. Other people are going to have to do the same thing, too. I have reliable transportation. Everybody else might not. So that could become a real barrier to healthcare.
So let me ask you, Lou Miller, the chairman of the East Bexar County Health Task Force, is there some sort of negotiations going on with the county to come up with a solution?
We definitely have discussions going on, David, with the university health systems. We've met with Mr. Hernandez, the president/executive director of the hospital system. We've met with our county commissioner for Precinct 4 because he's well aware that there are no health care services being provided by our tax dollars in his whole precinct now. We're optimistic that a hospital will be built. Everybody's telling me, well, you know, you're reaching for the stars. Well, that's fine. You know, the people are deserving of having a hospital.
Why is that reaching for the stars? I don't get that.
Well, people don't expect people in a lower socioeconomic income to have expectations.
Well, I mean, let's just talk about that for a second. Okay. I mean, here we are. We're talking about a huge part of the city, a quarter of the city, 25% of the city.
Right.
People were now having access now to expanded health care with the Affordable Care Act coming online, people getting insurance and all these things we're hearing about. These people, so there are resources. It's viable. There's a business opportunity here for not just, it doesn't have to be the county. There are a lot of places looking for ways to expand to get into the medical field. What's the holdup here?
It makes good business sense to have more clinics. We had a meeting this past week with Methodist Healthcare Ministries. They've requested to be added to our committee on healthcare. We expect them to come on board. They have a clinic on South New Braunfels. They're telling us that they are discussing putting one somewhere near the Choice Impact area between New Braunfels Avenue and Walter Street because they see what's coming down the line with the ACA. They're seeing a new demand of customer. So it makes good business sense. Likewise, the university health systems should be responsive to the taxpayers because now we're going to have more people willing to pay for their services. You see, they're always saying people are reluctant to get health care. They don't believe in preventive care. People don't believe in preventive care, I've come to find out, because they have not had access to preventive health care.
Okay. So preventive care, I guess that would be like being able to teaching people how to manage their diet to avoid actually
right.
being diagnosed
to
with diabetes.
To manage their diabetes.
Showing people the benefits of exercise and all these things and having these resources available to them. We're going to continue the conversation. We're talking about bringing a hospital or child birth center, prenatal care to the east side. There's a huge lack of those services to this big part of San Antonio. We do want to hear from the community. Call in. The number is 614-8980. I'm joined in the studio. I've got Jackie Gorman. She's the executive director of San Antonio for Growth on the East Side. Lou Miller, chairman of the East Bexar County Health Task Force. We want you to join the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A big chunk of San Antonio, 25% of the city, doesn't have access to a hospital, or easy access to a hospital or medical services. We're talking about the east side. It's an area they pay their taxes, they go to work, they have insurance, but yet all these barriers exist towards taking care of their medical needs. Joining us to talk about finding some sort of solution for that, we've got Jackie Gorman in the studio. She's the executive director of San Antonio for Growth on the East Side, and Lou Miller, chairman of the East Side, East Bexar County Health Task Force. And, you know, what we're talking about is not just a health and well-being quality of life issue, but we're talking about a big part of San Antonio that's not being served, and there's the possibility, the potential for economic development in this area would be huge. Isn't that right, Jack?
Yeah, that certainly is, because if you think about it, if you just go east from the east side, you know, into Lavernia and Wilson County, there is no hospital service out there. So in reality, you could use a catchment area that could go out 25 or 30 miles past the city limits that would bring people in to a full-service hospital on the east side.
Let's go to the phones. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Eric is on the line. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to make a quick comment. I think that a hospital just about everywhere is definitely a necessity. I think it's a, you know, at this point that we've progressed this far, it's pretty much like a basic human right to have access to medical care if you need it. But one of the problems I have, and I'm 100% covered with TRICARE, so anytime I go to the hospital, I don't pay anything for it. But I went in recently for paint inhalation. I was painting my pantry, and I forgot to ventilate it properly, and so I was having some issues. And that bill came out to about $27,000. And so even if I had 80% or 70% of that covered, the hospital was charging quite a bit of money just for an X-ray and for the time that they gave me. And so I'm wondering, while building a hospital is definitely a good step to take, what is being done about making sure that people can actually afford to even go to the hospital if they need to?
Okay, Eric, thanks for that question. Those are good comments. So, Jackie, can you kind of address that?
You know, that's a burden that everyone pays, but at least there was a hospital available for him to go to. He didn't have to drive 30 minutes after he had fumed himself with paint. You know, hopefully the reforms under the Affordable Care Act will help address some of this overcharging and escalation in medical costs, but that is a burden that every citizen bears right now.
Yeah, so he wasn't just paying for his own medical care, he was paying for other people's medical care who didn't have insurance or who had.
Absolutely.
And so when we have the Affordable Care Act, and once we work out all the kinks and we get this thing going, and people will start figuring out that this is a workable plan, that we will see the benefits of that take in effect. But so let me ask you, Lou Miller, I mean, so what do you see the economic benefits of having a hospital on the east side? I mean, that would definitely, you see it as a positive?
I see it as a positive. I see more people as a result of ACA being covered. With a larger population being covered, you've got a lot smaller population of people who don't pay their own way. They'll have to depend on the federal taxes, or rather on the tax base of the university health system. But as a result of more people paying into the system, you're going to find that hospital costs are going to go down. I think a lot more doctors under the ACA protection will not be practicing what we call litigious medicine. You see, today doctors are ordering unnecessary tests just to cover themselves from lawsuits. We're going to see, as a result of the ACA reforms, a lot less of those lawsuits, which means that I think it will translate into lower cost in the hospital.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Alan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good.
Glad to hear your voice, Lou Miller and Jackie. I also did some work on the Eastside Healthcare Task Force. My concern was also in trying to repurpose the Southeast Baptist Hospital under the auspices of University Hospital System. And it hasn't particularly gone anywhere. UHS doesn't seem to be interested in doing anything unless it's downtown or on the north side. And I'm still pushing, but I would, in regards to how much incentive that hospital system by itself, Baptist, including the new hospital, millions and millions and millions of tax dollar incentives and seemingly nothing to show for it, we still have to drive across town to have a baby. So that's my comment. I'd like to hear from Lou and Jackie, and thank you for your work, Lou.
Al, no problem. I appreciate your comments. When it comes to the University Health System, I'm glad you opened up a new topic that we want to share with David, which is with a choice grant coming to the east side, which is a $30 million grant that's going to totally tear down the Wheatley courts, rebuild them, mixed-use housing, as well as economic development and business opportunities. Part of that grant that San Antonio is going to do revolutionary that was never done with the other cities that received a grant is that $5 million will be set aside for health care delivery in that area. Nobody's done it before in the country, but it's a provision of the grant. We're also trying to make sure that the University Health System is aware that $5 million is there and see if we can't leverage that. So we're not asking the University Health System or Methodist ministers to come in alone. We've got $5 million on the table as long as they come into that footprint to help us make a difference. And Al, by the way, I'm still waiting on you to get an email address. And you're the last person in San Antonio to get an email address, Al.
Okay, so that is an interesting point that y'all do have this money. So y'all can, is it like seed money? Is it matching funds? How does that work, Jackie?
Well, actually, it can be used a couple of different ways, but actually, we're trying not to use it. We're trying to get some other money to supplant it. And just before I left the office, I made a couple of phone calls to make sure that I was clear on some things. And I know that SAHA, San Antonio Housing Authority, also has submitted a separate grant application along with the University Health System to provide prenatal care and mother and early childhood care within that community. So the funds can be used as seed dollars, they can be used as matching dollars, or if we can get some other dollars to leverage against those funds, perhaps we might not use all of them, but the money is there.
Okay, back to the phones. Danny is on the line. Danny, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks. I was curious how come Baptist Medical Systems moved out of the east side down to Mission Trail area. They were there for decades, and now they're gone.
Okay, Danny, thanks for that question. Can you answer that, anybody?
Yeah, the question he wants
why,
to know why.
Why did Baptist move out?
Baptist moved out because of the age of the building. In this day, medical technology, medical records on is online now. Everything's online. The age of the building, the buildings that are being built now have almost a floor in between each floor because of all of the new technology that goes on. It was my understanding, and Al probably can address it better, but it was my understanding that they just felt like the building was too outdated to renovate. So subsequently, they decided just to build a new hospital at the Admission Trails, which was also part of an economic development plan for the Brook City-based development. You know, we're happy for them, but we felt like we could have at least gotten a new hospital further east, northeast of the old location.
Okay, one more caller. Chandra is joining us. Chandra, welcome to The Source.
Hi.
Hey there.
It's kind of a question, statement rolled into a question, I guess. I know the University of the Incarnate Word has invested in the east side by opening up the Bowden Eye Clinic right across from St. Philip. So I was kind of curious, from your guest's perspective, what that impact has been in the community.
It has made a tremendous impact by virtue of the fact that many kids kids or their parents were aware that the reason their child was not doing well in school was because they couldn't see.
So what is the center, the Bowden?
UIW has opened up an optometry school at the corner of Walters and Commerce Street, which is in the shadow of St. Philip's College. So now we've got St. Philip's College students who will be able to attend the optometry school and then move on into the University of the Incarnate Word. It's in the Choice Footprint area. It's a great addition to the area because we've got kids that have never had their eyes checked.
And we were really in an eye care desert. There was only one private optometry practice on the east side. Dr. Anthony Webb, who was like working himself to death, he's my eye doctor. I asked him, I said, so Dr. Webb, what do you think? He's like, I'm on the advisory committee. We need this in this community. And it's a great place where people can go get low-cost eye care as well as eyeglasses and contact lenses because the dean told me that they are a nonprofit, so they're not trying to make a profit on the frames or the lenses or the contacts. They're just going to charge you what they get charged and what their overhead is. And so I know several people that will take insurance. You don't have to be uninsured to go there. And they're also doing clinical sites, using that as clinical sites for all of their allied health programs. So at some point, you might be able to go there and get outpatient physical therapy or speak to a nurse practitioner or any number of things that our community has been lacking. So it's a great part of our community, but it certainly does not solve our healthcare access issues.
So what do we need to do to get this on the front burner of San Antonio to make sure that people are aware that we have this need? I mean, I would call it a crisis. We've got folks out there, they need medical treatment, they need medical care, they're not getting it. To me, that is a crisis.
They are.
How do we get this on the front burner?
You've already begun. You've already begun by helping us to get the word out. We want to continue to talk about the issues of the East Side, because a lot of people ignore the fact that the number one teen suicide rate for the city of San Antonio is in the eastern part of San Antonio.
All sorts of medical needs are out there. It's the highest rates of cancer, as you said, low birth weights, all sorts of issues out there. Jackie, what do we got to do?
We've got to keep telling the story. We've got to make sure people understand that the community is not asking for a handout. We can pay our way.
Yeah, you can pay your freight.
We just need the facilities to go to and pay.
We got to get people to realize that and stop thinking that, oh, the East Side, no, it ain't going to work. But it is going to work.
It is going to work. We work every day.
All right. Thank you both for coming in here. We've got Lou Miller, chairman of the East Bear County Health Task Force. And also we were joined by Jackie Gorman, executive director of the San Antonio for Growth on the East Side. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.